So I did a deep dive on strange and interesting events that happened on islands throughout history. And on the first island, I found 4,000 dead below frigid temperatures, and it'd blow you away what they did to survive. On this week's episode, we're going to go to Cannibal Island.
Historical Potatoes is where weird and obscure events in history come back to life.
Let's journey through time. All right. So we're talking about Cannibal Island, but I really, because I mean, like people understand, like like the prisoners and the prisons and everything that happened, but just I'm gonna kind of set everything up just because I don't know what everyone knows. Just because I know it doesn't mean you know it or what have you. Because I didn't know this, but did you do you know like the internal passports that Russia used, like Soviet Russia used?
No.
So. It's this crazy thing that, like, Stalin was almost worse than Hitler. Like, and
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know, I just feel like when we like learn shit through history and everything like that, like it's always focused on like how bad Hitler was. Like, granted, like we heard about him killing, people that he thought might, take him over or killing a bunch of doctors that like didn't, give him like the right results that he wanted. But like, I guess I never really learned about like the batshit crazy shit he did to his own people. I mean,
Yeah.
it's just it's mind blowing. And so he created this internal passport system. And from what I've read and what I've dug up, it was more like the city folks had it. So everyone that like had was like upper class or like middle class had these internal passports. And so you would take these internal passports and you'd have to go to the market. It'd be like a driver's license. But like if you're walking, anything that you were doing, you had to have this passport on you at all times. And so a lot of the farmers or a lot of the lower income people did not have these internal passports because it was really meant for the city. And so Stalin kind of did this to like purge the city of unwanted or unliked people. And there was like several stories where there's these people that would be going to these farmer markets or they'd be going to the grocery store, and then all of a sudden the USS or the secret police would barricade all the doors and then go through everybody and get their passports. And there was even some people that they just didn't like. And they're like, "You don't have your passport." And like the lady's like, "I have my passport right here." Nope, that's not a passport. Take her away and just beat the, beat the crap out of them and all that stuff and then take them to a gulag. Like it was
Classic.
just mind blowing what this piece and this aspect did with the secret police where they even if you did have your passport, like this one guy, like I was reading the story, and this one guy, he literally went to go pick up the newspaper and he didn't have his internal passport. Like he was at home and he like was going to like the market or something like that to get like the daily paper. And he got stopped by one of the secret police and they're like, "Hey, we need your papers." He's like, "Oh, I left it at home. Like you can come with me." And nope, you don't have your papers. They arrested him. He went to the gulag. His wife and his kids never saw him again. Just disappeared. And
Jeez,
like,
man.
and then just, the barricading stories and all that stuff. So like even if they had the internal passport, it didn't matter. They just if they didn't like you disappeared.
That time period is so weird because, like, people just, if you're a dictator, you could just make people disappear. I mean,
Yeah.
granted, governments probably still do that whenever they want to, but it's a
I mean,
little
like North
harder.
Korea and stuff. I
With
mean,
the internet,
absolutely
well, in
has.
North Korea, definitely, like people probably disappear all the time, and it's just like they're just gone. You just accept that they're gone, and it's just how things were.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's, yeah. And so I dug into that piece and it was just, it was just like cleansing of the city is what they wanted, like the upper class, they wanted the purified people and all this stuff. And so like that's what they did. They took him in and they threw him out. And so and we'll go a little bit further back into the past. So like 3 years before, Cannibal Island set up, we have and I'm going to butcher all these names. I don't know Russian very well, and I apologize for that. But you have Yagoda and you have Berman. Yagoda was the head of the secret police, and then Berman was the head of all the gulags. They had this big, giant plan that they proposed to Stalin that, hey, let's ship these people off to, the countryside where there's not that many people. It's barren. It's not sustained. There's not like population out there. Let's send all these unwanted and these prisoners out there. And what they're going to do is they're going to make these farms and then they're going to send it back to the collective. And then that's how we're going to, because they were going through a, like a starvation, like a drought and stuff like that. So like that's what they were trying to think. And so they arrested a bunch of farmers that like weren't getting with their quotas, because you had a quota, like the like for example, like Ukraine was one of like the worst ones where their quota got so high that they literally took every ounce of wheat and whatever they else that they were growing, and they took it from them to send back to the collective. So everything, so whatever you grew, milked or whatever, it went to Moscow, and then from Moscow it went to wherever it needed to go. But it made sure that Moscow was fed, and then what was ever left over trickled out. And so like a lot of like Ukrainians and stuff like that like starved to death because, you know, they gave all their food away because they had these police officers coming in.
Right.
And so the very first time these two guys are like, you know, let's make this plan. Let's take all these people that we don't like and stuff like that, farmers or farm hands, and we'll arrest them and we're going to send them over and make these self-sustaining gulags. Well, they did that and they got themselves out of this famine and everything was like all cool and kosher and whatnot. And so 3 years later, we fast forward and they're going through this major famine, 1933, you know, like the Dust Bowl back in the United States, stuff like that. Like economy's going to shit. They can't get grain because, you know, a good chunk of their grain comes from the United States. They can't get any of that stuff. So now they're going through the starvation, this drought, and everything like that. So they're like, let's do this again. And the head of the police was like, you know what? There's a lot of unwanted and undesirables is what they called them, living in Moscow and Leningrad. And why don't we take those and do the same thing? So they went ahead and did the same thing. But where the fuck up is, first time it was ag people and countryside people that knew how to survive. The second group of people that we're about to go and dive and explore with, they were city people. They didn't even know what a grain of wheat looked like. They had no idea how to farm. They had no idea how to build houses. They had no idea any of those because they were industrial people. They weren't the people that provided, you know, the resources for food. They provided, you know, materials and all that stuff, but they didn't know how to grow a crop.
Right.
And so they took 86,000 people between March and July out of Moscow and Leningrad, and they did this mass deportation. And what we're going to do is that we're going to follow along. I think it's the original is like about 5,000. So they take 86,000 and they spread them out through Tomsk, Omsk, and Ashisk, I think is what the three prisoner camps are. And they're out in Siberia. So they transport them out and they go to Siberia and they go to what's called a gulag. And, you know, all those people that play Call of Duty and whatnot, same, but different. So a gulag is for the people that don't understand, you know, there's industrial gulags, ag gulags, you know, labor camps, you know, and what the gulags were meant is to provide back to Mother Russia or to Moscow. That's all the gulags were meant to do. And so, you know, you had your different type of sector of gulags that, you know, they each provided back to the country and whatnot. And the ones that we're going to focus on is supposed to be an agricultural gulag. And we're essentially you know, political prisoners, unwanted people or undesirables, criminals, like actual criminals. You know, they all get sent to these gulags where a good chunk of them throughout history never come back. I mean, or they just disappear, or, you know, the one thing that you know with Russia, with anything that happens there, is it's very propagandized. So
Right.
what we see might not work. And I guess I should dive into that before we go any further. So this happened in 1933, and no one knew about it until 1988, when there was an investigation that happened, and then they found Nazino Island, and they found all the stuff that was going on. And then nothing became public to like you or I until like 2006, when a survivor wrote a book. So all these events that I'm about to go over are very pieced together and have conflicting stories. So if you've heard differently and whatnot, I apologize. This is from what I've read up and what I've done. And what I've read, there is several times where it conflicts. And so I'm trying to grab up what, you know, multiple sources are telling me are the same. So I just want to get that out there and I apologize. But anything that's Russian history-esque is going to have you know, plot holes and
right, yeah.
and random things that supposedly weren't supposed to happen, but actually happened and whatnot. So I guess as we go further, you know, welcome to the gulag.
Right.
But so, yeah. And so Siberia at this point is a wasteland. I mean, it's just it's a tundra. It's frozen over. It's, you know, there's barely anybody. Like, Russia is such a giant country, but a good chunk of it is not, like, it's not populated. It's sparsely populated. So, like, you know, you have Moscow, you have Leningrad, and you have a few other cities that are, you know, kind of the bulk of the population. And then it's just a few huts and stuff like that throughout. So, you know, they take, between March and July, they take, from what we know, 86,000 people that supposedly do not have passports or are criminals. And they take them out to Tomsk, Omsk, and Ashgisk, which I know I butchered that and I apologize. But and out of the three, Tomsk is the largest gulag. So those three are gulag cities. And so, you know, we go in and, you know, all these people are gone. And we're going to start the date. It's April 30th, 1933 is where we're kind of starting our journey that'll lead us to Cannibal Island or Nazino Island or Death Island. I might call it all of them. I apologize. It's called so many different names. It's the largest camp. And it can hold 15,000, they call them deportees or detainees or prisoners, whatever you want to call them, but they always refer to them as deportees, I think, because, you know, they're deporting them from the city and stuff
like
that.
Very official of them.
So on April 30th, though, there is a train cart where 25,000 prisoners arrive to a location that can only hold 15,000. And to put some sprinkles on, so we're going to, it's just, this is government. So, you know, they're 10,000 above population. So that right there is like, boom, red flag, like, oh shit. Second red flag, the camp's not even done yet. It's being built. It's about halfway through being completed. So it's not even capable of holding 15,000 people. But currently it's at 25,000. Third red flag, the guards that were there at the gulag at Tomsk look over and there's cattle cars coming in full of 25,000 people. Everyone looks at each other. What the fuck is this? No one was told, no one was called, no one was even explained that all these prisoners were arriving. But all the officers were too scared to ask Stalin because they thought they'd be executed. So they just went ahead and took him in. And on the train ride from Moscow to Tomsk, they were allotted 10 ounces of bread a day, which I think we were looking at it and we translated it. It's like 7 pieces of bread or 4 pieces of bread. It's a loaf in their time. Like, it's a small loaf. It's like a full loaf. And, you know, when I was originally looking at this, I was like, man, I was like, that's kind of a lot of bread. Like, I don't know why, you know, they kept saying they're starving. Like, I could eat off that every day. But come to find out, they got bullied and beaten, and a lot of the people didn't get their ration. You just had people that overate and stuff like that, and, you know, beat the weaker population to pick up that bread, to get that bread. Get that bread. And so they arrive. No one's told. It's not completed. And the guards deemed them contagious and starving on arrival. And so they took them. They took, it was like, I think, the 4,000. Yeah, they took 4,000 of them that they didn't know because they were city dwellers. So there was a good chunk of them that were like ag people. And then, you know what I mean? Like the rest of it. But there was 4,000 that came straight from Moscow that they didn't, you know, they seemed suspicious is what the guard said. So they isolated them into a weird part of the camp, where after a few days, riots broke out because no one gave them water. And so they were sitting there starving and they lacked water during this time. They had no food, no water, no nothing. So a riot broke out. They quelled it by, you know, taking out a few people. I guess it was more than 4,000 because 4,000 gets on the train. So they they quell it and they send them down and they, end up, I think, getting them water and bread, but they just kind of let them starve and let them go out there because they didn't know how to deal with them. So they just kind of threw them out to the side of the camp. And Tomsk sits on Orb River, I think is what it's called. And during the winter months, which May is included in this winter month, so like October to May, it's frozen. Like they're like the river does not flow. Like it is like just a frozen landmine. You know what I mean? And so they are waiting for the rivers to kind of break up and break open, and so they can send these barges down that are supposed to carry wood and load these prisoners up. And so during that time, they're sitting there and they're isolated and they're, nothing good is going on and whatnot. So,
what does the Russian government at this time consider undesirable?
From what I've read, there wasn't really, it was just like they looked at you wrong type deal. And I'd have to do a little bit deeper dive on that. I apologize.
I just wondered if it was like a certain type of people that got like sent out because they didn't like them, or if it was just based on like, oh, this guy pissed me off, I'm going to send him away.
I know like the Bolsheviks and stuff like that. So there was, groups of people. I don't know off the top of my head what those groups are, but a lot of them were like poor and
easy to forget and easy to get out of.
Yeah. I assume Jews are part of that transit. I mean,
could be.
Because I don't think Russia really, I think it was the United States is what really cared about, what was going on. Because I know that Stalin had to know about.
Yeah. I mean, the Russians killed tons of people too. So, it's not surprising.
But yeah, so I'll do a deep dive and I'll let you know what the undesirables are. This is our first episode, so I apologize that I should be a little bit better.
I just didn't know if there was a certain group of people that was ousted or so.
Auschwitz did.
Oh.
No, my bad. But yeah, so so far that's going on. I think I went through quite a bit. I apologize because I didn't let you question it out. So, is there any other
That was one thing that popped out to me that I thought you might have an answer for, that they had groups of people that, I'm sure it was political parties and stuff like that were also.
Yeah, it hit on several times that it was political opponents or other opposite political parties that were that were sent to these gulags.
Different ideas are definitely things you got to squash, so.
Yeah, exactly. that's exactly what Stalin believed in 100%, that a lot of people fled to Mexico, then got murdered while being in Mexico. So, it's there. I know political opponents were such a big piece of it. And so we get to the halfway point of May. So May 14th. So essentially a little bit under it. The river is finally cleared up enough. It's still iced over, still snows and stuff like that. But on May 14th, they're able to load up 5,000 into these barges. Four barges. And I want to say only 300 of them, no, 200, 233 of them were women. The rest of the 5,000 were men. it's a big difference.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit of a difference. And that'll play in later on as we go through the story. But yeah, they left on four barges. And at that time, they were only given 7 ounces of bread. So I guess almost half a loaf, a little bit more than half a loaf per person. Per day. So they load them all up, they get them on there, and it takes them 4 days. So that's, if you're gauging it, Tomsk is the nearest city to Cannibal Island. So if it's a 4-day journey by boat downstream, obviously that is a long, long ways away. And that also plays into a few things going on as we move further, but so it takes them 4 days. They get there on May 18th. And as they're unloading, 27 people are already dead. So they didn't survive through the barges. And about 1,000 of them, when they get there, can't really move, and they have to be carried onto the island. So they get carried onto this island, and then the other 1,200, so it's like 6,200. So the other 1,200 arrive at the end of the month, May 27th. But there's a lot of shit that goes on between May 18th and May 27th. That's only 9 days, and there's a whole lot that comes through on that piece. And so they arrive, technically 4,963 prisoners arrive onto the Seal Island. And they get there, and they took flour with them, and the flour that they got was roughly, I think it's about like 9 pounds. Yeah, 9 pounds of flour per person. Which I feel like is like a good chunk because that's what they arrived with. But that's all they had. So they ran out of the bread. And so when they get to the island, they have just 9 pounds of flour per person. And so they get there, they unload, they look. There's no shelter. It's an island that is currently snowing, and they're getting pushed out like cattle out of these barges, and there's not a single building in sight. And so they tell them, you need to build shelters. Okay. Can we have tools to cut down these trees? We didn't bring tools. No one gave us tools. So you don't get tools. Okay. How do we make this bread from this flour? Oh, we don't have any ovens or anything like that. So you're just gonna have to figure that out. So they get on this island. 27 people are already dead. They get on this island. They have no ovens, no tools, no shelter, and it's snowing out. And I was looking at pictures of Nazino Island, and it's like Western Kansas, where there's a handful of trees anyways.
Yeah.
So a good chunk of what their wood comes from is driftwood
Dang.
off the river. So it's this barren, swampy, just frozen wasteland where there's still ice forming along the edges of the island. So even though it's May 14th, you're thinking, oh, United States, hell, it's 80s, 90s, good summer days, I guess, before it gets too hot. But if you're in Siberia, Russia, you still have snow, you still have ice, you still have all sorts of things. And unfortunately, that's where we leave you until next week. So I really hope you come out and finish up the story with us.